You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
Amen, amen. You've been blessed by the Fruit of the Spirit series. I hope that you have. Everybody been blessed by it so far? We are in the 8th of 9 this morning, and so we'll get to some of those details here in just a minute. Let me just say thank you to Pastor Eric and the Elder Board for entrusting me with the opportunity, the privilege, the important position that I'm in this morning to bring the Word of God. Now, I don't believe it is lightly to be taken lightly, and we don't want to do that in this moment. 3 years. He was right. This is actually kind of our, I'd say, anniversary. If we were going to have one, the first week of August for us, 3 years ago, we came to join the staff here and to do a whatever. I don't know. We coach baseball, teach classes. My wife works in the coffee shop, or at least for another week or two. I don't know how long that is, but she'll be stepping away for our kids. Our life is changing. If you don't know, we have a couple of kids graduating college next year. We have our youngest, graduating high school, and another one starting college. So it's, you know, life is changing, and it's busy, and so we're grateful. We want her to be able to, my wife Brittany, to be able to be there for all these life events and just not be locked up in that coffee shop all the time. So she's taken a break from all of that, and I'm excited for her. I'm excited for us. Even though I will say, I must confess, that means she's around a lot more and she's got a lot more energy. And if y'all know my wife, you'll know what I mean when I say that. So it'll be interesting around our house for sure. Yeah, she's amazing. So we are excited around Gospel Light. It's a great time of year. Exciting. There's a lot happening both in our schools. I mentioned the record number for our students at the Christian school. Our college has soccer teams and volleyball and track and all those new sports that we've had kind of around, but we're excited to have coaches in place this year and ready to go. And so just a lot of growth, a lot of projects around the campus that are happening, not quite finished, almost finished, need to be finished, however you want to word that. The church is growing. Last week, they had 65 at Park Place, if you didn't know that, which is an amazing turnout. And so just praising God for the goodness that he's had around our campus and in the ministry. Lives being transformed, nations being reached, certainly testimony after testimony. One of the most beautiful things I think about being a part of Gospel Light is this. You can see or meet or come across someone, and I get the privilege of being up here all the time during the week, but it doesn't matter where you find somebody. When you cross paths, you almost always are going to hear a testimony of what God is doing in the life of either in their life or in the life of somebody that they're ministering to. And so just that testimony, I believe, is fuel to the fire every single day that we get to live this thing out to the glory of God. And so I hope you feel that excitement as well. If not, I hope you'll stick around, because you will. If you stick around, you'll feel it. We got a lot going on. Well, this year, we have been working to learn what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit as a church. And I think we're seeing that function in our church day to day, just in all the things that are happening. I don't know that there would be such a blessing over this place and all the things that are happening, and if the Spirit of God wasn't empowering us to do that and putting blessing on the church. So I think we're headed there. I won't say we're there yet, because it's always a work in progress for us, right? We're always right now on this side of heaven being sanctified in this process. So we're not there yet, but we're getting there, and thankfully God is faithful to give us this strength, this power day to day. But we are in the 8th of the 9th, as I mentioned before. And I will say this, as we get ready to read the word together, what I will say about this particular fruit, and maybe next week, and I might even go back to faithfulness last week. When someone becomes a believer and the fruit of the Spirit starts to be produced in their life as they grow in their relationship, certain things sometimes get a little easier to see. Like, if someone's attitude changes and they're more loving, or they're, you know, peaceful, or they're kind, or some of those things, like some of those early fruits are, I think, easier and quicker to manifest themselves and to be seen in the life of a believer. But faithfulness, that takes a little bit of time. For instance, like, it takes time for someone to see whether or not you truly are faithful in your walk with God, and you'll see that as they go through different trials and seasons. But then this topic that we have this morning, this fruit, Joe mentioned in the first service as he was kind of introducing that it's so good that God is the gentle God who is just like will give us a hug, kind of so to speak, spiritually speaking, and this softness. And while that is true, our God is amazing in that regard, this word gentleness is far deeper than just that. And I don't want to, again, we'll get into it here in just a minute, but encourage, but this takes some time, I think. And again, we'll walk through that. But have you ever lost control? Anybody need self-control that pastor's going to talk about next week? Okay, nobody's saying a word. So y'all are all perfect. Nobody has an attitude about anything. So, okay, fair enough. Let's do this then. Let's stand for the reading of God's word in honor and reverence to it. We're going to read our theme passage for this series out of Galatians 5, and then I'll say a word of prayer, and we'll get a deep dive into the text this morning. But in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, here's what it says. And you can read it along with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. So, Father, it's our prayer that as your Spirit works in us, as we desire to understand your word and the words in it, God, that you would open our eyes to see, you would reveal what you want us to understand and know, and God, that our lives would be changed as we walk out of this place this morning so that we can have this fruit in our life and we can model it before others and that they may be able to grab and, these things out of our life for their lives. And we thank you in advance in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I kind of referenced this. Let me ask it in a different way. Have any of y'all ever mishandled a situation in life where you're like, man, I wish I could go back and redo this? Anybody ever said anything? You're like, man, I really wish that hadn't come out of my mouth, right? Probably, we can use the self-control, and I won't get into that sermon, but probably it means that we didn't exercise the fruit of gentleness in the moment. I'll explain as we kind of go further into it, but oftentimes that's the case. I know in my life there have been a million things. None of you as parents have ever gotten tired of your kids asking the same question 49,000 times and been like, that's enough, and you pop off at them, right? No husband in here has ever been short with their wife, I'm sure. Only me, right? And I'm saying all these things because we find ourselves all the time. And let's be honest, this week is going to be long. For those that are in the schools, and even parents, like, I mean, your kids aren't going to get up probably Thursday and be perfect about how they get ready for school. Some might be ready early. Some kids are crazy like that, and that's okay. But oftentimes, there's going to be some hiccups along the way. Everything's not going to go according to plan. How do we respond? And this is where we find these fruits so valuable in our life, the fruit of the Spirit. And again, I remind you, I think these last couple that we're dealing with both today and next week are things that take a little bit of time. Certainly, they take a deep and very maturing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ and we become spiritually mature, we see faithfulness and gentleness and self-control start to reveal themselves more and more often. Let me give you a few points to in your outline this morning that you want to write down. These have been in our sermon outline worship guides for the last couple of months as we've worked through this. But a couple of these I want to remind us of. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is one complete work of God producing a balanced Christian life. So if you're tired of being just like super high and super low, like I, you know, like for instance, some of you are so wore out from the week, maybe tore up from the week, that you had to have church this morning because it was so rough. But part of that could be is because throughout the week, we kind of forgot to go and pursue Jesus. We weren't filled with the Spirit the entire time. Like, I had a friend of mine, and he was as zealous for Christ as you possibly are. Our pastor has some zeal. Amen? Any of y'all ever wonder if the battery ever runs out? Like, does he have to, like, plug back in sometimes? And he does in different ways. And he's wired way differently than I am, for sure. And you'll see that in the personality of this morning's sermon. But he's wired differently. He has an incredible zeal. What I have found out, though, in my brother that I had that discipled in Tennessee, and pastor is another example of this, is that the reason that they can run at such high energy and the same level all the time is because they are being filled with the Spirit at all times. Right? They're walking with Jesus intimately at all times. And because of that, they live kind of a balanced life. Doesn't mean that there aren't hiccups along the way and difficulties. Certainly that's going to be true. But you understand where I'm coming from. That is what we see in the complete work of God in the fruit of the Spirit. A second thing, spiritual fruit is grown by the Spirit or the Holy Spirit in us so that others can taste and see Jesus through us. That's why we are given the fruit. So we're given the fruit not for us alone. Now, do we benefit from it? Anybody think peace is a good thing in your life? Maybe some of you are desiring peace right now. Well, ask God for it, right? Ask the Spirit of God to fill you with it, right? Love and joy and kindness and all these other things are really, really good things. We want those in our life. But understand that it's not given to you for just you. It's given to you for the others. Who are the others in your life? Well, again, we can go down a list of all of those. Well, another one that I want to give you is this one. The standard of perfect spiritual fruit is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And I should have put this in there. Only in the person of Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ can we find the perfection of these fruits. In that, this way. There's no one in here. I don't care what you say. And I'll use scripture if I need to prove this to you. None of you are perfect. None of you perfectly produce these fruits or bear these fruits, I'm sorry. I wish that was true, but if that were true, then we would be Jesus, and we're not. But Jesus is Jesus, and because Jesus is Jesus, he perfectly bears these fruits and produces these fruits because he's God this morning. If I were to walk around the sanctuary or maybe the different ones in here, maybe outside of here, and ask the question, what does it mean to be gentle? There would be a lot of different things that we would offer potentially this morning. Certainly in a culture, I believe there are things that they would say, but we're probably going to have different responses. Some might be like this. Somebody that's nice. Somebody that's gentle is nice. Somebody that's mild-mannered, right? That some might say that they're a passive individual, almost unnoticed in some sense. I think that the world around us would love to make the church quiet. Like the world around us, our community around us, our schools, for the teachers that are going to be serving in those and the kids that are going to be going to school in colleges and these things, they would love, Satan would love nothing more than for you to be quiet about your faith. Only problem with that is we're commanded to be opposite of that, right? In fact, the scripture says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father who is in heaven. That's Jesus that said that. So we don't have that choice. We have to be people who are talking about and living out this faith in a way that is according to the Word of God. But if we think of it as just mild-mannered, passive, or unnoticed, it undervalues this word in a real way. And we want to dig into this morning. It's likely because we misunderstand it. Some people would say that, you know, a gentle person might be spineless, not have a backbone, right? They lie down and, like, this idea, like the world would really love to build and cultivate a church where the world just kind of walks all over the church. We never say what's wrong. We never do anything with it or do anything about it, even in our own lives. But I think that what I would encourage you, and this is something I want you to see this morning, is that biblical gentleness is strength under control. We'll see this in the next point in your outline. It says biblical gentleness and meekness, and I'll introduce this word meekness here in just a moment, is not being mild and passive, but rather it's strength under control. So we always think of it as this soft and tender, and it is. There's an element to that. But it is also, if you understand the word and dig into the word, it means strength under control. Have you ever watched a grown man, like huge guy, right? Like handle a baby? Like how soft they become, they start oohing and aahing and talking in the baby voice and all the other things that we sometimes do, right? I mean, like the biggest of men, right, that you'll see that with. Anyway, Darian was in the first service, and so it was easy, like front row. I was like, man, this guy's huge. But when you watch him hold his child, he seems tender and soft and gentle and all these things. But did he lose the strength of the man that he is? No. He's still the strong guy that he is. And if he was not living according to the will of God and he was, given over to the evil one in this regard, he could actually hurt or harm that child if he so chose. What happened in the moment? Well, he chose to restrain that strength or contain it, right? So it's strength under control, right? I don't throw or handle a football the same way I do a baby, no matter how many times people be like, hey, it's just like a football. No, it's not. You're not throwing that child like you would a football, all right? At least not until they're old enough, and then whatever after that. A second thing here in the biblical gentleness is this. Biblical gentleness and meekness recognizes it's not about the strength we control, but actually our lives surrendered. All of you have a say. You have free will. And by that free will, you have control. You have some power in what happens next. Even in this moment, you're sitting here listening as I'm building the case for this idea behind this word in Galatians 5, this fruit of the Spirit, and you're already being, you're working through it. Well, okay, I like what he said there. I don't like what he said there. I don't like, you know, whatever it is. Like, these things are challenging us at all times as you're sitting here listening to the sermon this morning. In fact, this happens all throughout our day. I mentioned the word meekness, and I want to build on it just for a moment, because in modern translations, and if you were to dive into the Greek word, and if I were to do a study on that this morning with you as a New Testament class, you would understand that there's some depthness to everything. In fact, everything in the Word of God is deeper than the surface that we read it at. That's the neat thing about it. That's the reason you can read the same verse over and over again and get something new out of it. Have y'all done that? Where you've read this passage and you're like, man, I've never seen that before. Well, the reason is because it's deeper than we read on surface. So in our modern translations, they use the word gentle. And it's not incorrect, right? But in the KJV, it's the word meekness. Well, which one's right? Well, neither one of them are wrong, because if you were to take the root word of the Greek and deep dive into it, you'll understand that it's gentle meekness is what is meant by it. In fact, if you understand that Jesus didn't speak in Greek, in fact, he spoke in what? Aramaic. So if you were to study and go look at the Aramaic word, there's an element of this, and this is where the softness and the gentleness comes from, where there is this tender care for those that are underprivileged or not seen or things of this nature. There's connotation there. So it has another little variant. So it's a really complex word in all actuality. And so we want to understand what the word means, and then we want to understand how do we get this and cultivate this into our life. That is the goal this morning. And so hopefully we do that. Why is meekness not a popular word? Well, I mentioned before this because oftentimes it's misunderstood, undervalued. In fact, we don't celebrate it at all, really, in our society. We celebrate power, right? We celebrate people with position. We celebrate those kinds of things. In fact, I would be, you know, I bet we could get phones out and go through social media, and almost everything that we're doing on social media, nothing reflects somebody like, we're not going, man, this person was incredibly meek today on social media. Right? In fact, we're almost using it in the opposite way, in the sense that we put pictures up of ourselves for the purpose of what? People affirming something about us and what's going on. Now, I'm not saying that all social media is bad. What I'm saying is, like, you can understand where culturally, if we're not careful, where this, we miss totally what this word is all about. So, we're obsessed with power and influence and control, and meekness just sometimes sounds weak and passive. But let me assure you, Jesus isn't calling us to be weak or passive. He's not calling us to weakness. In fact, he's calling us to strength, but strength that's controlled. We see this in the life of Jesus in Matthew 11, Moses in Numbers 12. We'll read some passages here in just a moment that'll further affirm that. It makes sense when you think about the life of Jesus. Philippians 2, in fact, Joe referenced this in the music time, but didn't quote the passage. But Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11, is this picture of Jesus, who is the authority of it all. He is the creator of it all. He was there in the beginning. He spoke things into existence. He is God. Amen? And so as God, he humbled himself, right? Came to earth as a baby, was raised up, and did so perfectly while exhibiting all these fruits. And then he humbly, again, gently, meekly, because he had power and authority. He had the ability to call down legions of angels. He had the ability to shut the Pharisees up, to do whatever he wanted to do. But what did he do? He chose to gently and meekly allow himself to be taken to the cross, crucified for our sins, raised 3 days later, and now we have life everlasting through the relationship with Jesus Christ. Beautiful picture, perfect picture of this fruit that we're looking at this morning. His power was real, but was restrained in some sense. Not because he couldn't, he just didn't. The kind of meekness we admire in this regard. A couple of phrases that might help us to think of it that have been popular in the past is things like this: gentle as a dove and bold as a lion. You may have heard that before. A lamb in public and a lion in private. There's an iron fist and a velvet glove. Or quiet waters run deep. All phrases that you've heard over the years. As we move forward, one of the goals that I have this morning, I believe this is very, very important in all our sermons, and we do a good job here, is to build the case from the Scripture. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through a set of Scriptures. I'm not reading every one of these. Otherwise, 1 o'clock, 1:30 will be the time we get out. But we're not going to get out that late, I promise you. But I do want us to build from the Word of God this base and foundation for what this Word means. And then from that, like, how do we see this come to reality in our lives? So let's start looking through them. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 21, Paul asked if he should come to the church at Corinth with a rod or in love and gentleness. And it might sound like immediately like it's like either or, right? Like rod or love and gentleness. See, the church at Corinth had problems. We got problems in our culture today. Amen? You may have problems in your own family and home life. Like, there's problems. Sometimes the rod is required. Like, I know we live in a culture where it's like, man, find every other way. But, like, sometimes the rod is required. Sometimes you have to. Jesus in the temple courts was right and good. He was not wrong. He was not out of the will of the Father. He was perfectly in line with the Father when he went through the temple courts and he turned over the tables. They had made a mockery and a den of thieves of the very place that was meant for the worship of God. He was right. The rod was required. And you say, well, was that meek and gentle? Well, yes, it was, because if they got what they deserved, or if you and I got what we deserve, none of us would be right here right now. So it was still in gentleness and in meekness, because he did so in a way that still left them standing and still left them alive, because they deserve not to be. You see, so the rod and in love and gentleness. So sometimes the rod is necessary and love and gentleness is necessary. Both are true. 2 Corinthians 10:1, Paul appeals to them by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I'm coming to you in the standard of Jesus, the gentleness and meekness of him. Galatians 5 is the passage we read earlier where the fruit of the Spirit is listed. Gentleness is there. Galatians 6:1 instructs believers to restore a fallen person in a spirit of gentleness. So someone that's fallen, we want to restore in gentleness. We don't want to do it in a harsh way. I'm not looking at you going, brother, man, you did this, 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 and this, and I'm yelling at them, pointing my finger down at them, and trying to make them feel as bad as humanly possible. That's not the goal of restoration. Now, we have to deal with the sin, or the sin has to be dealt with, let me put it in those terms, but we do it in a way and in a spirit of gentleness. Ephesians 4 says, encourages walking with all lowliness and gentleness. Colossians 3 says, tells believers to clothe themselves with the heart of gentleness. 2 Timothy 2:25, we'll come back later to it, but instructs correcting those who are in opposition with gentleness. Anybody struggle with people who oppose you or you don't really like? Again, none of y'all. Okay. It's easy to be okay with the people that you agree with. It's very hard to be okay with the people that you don't agree with. Fair? And so this verse is saying, look, you still got to handle those individuals with gentleness. Titus 3:2 says, shows us that believers should display perfect courtesy and gentleness toward all people. James 1:21 urges us to receive the implanted word with meekness and gentleness. And I'll say a quick word only because I'll come back to it here in a little bit. But in James 1:21, here's what it isn't saying. I don't get to read this and go, well, I like that and I don't like this. This is often how we read the word. This is often how we leave the word. I'll read it, I'll listen to it, I'll hear it. Maybe even some of you are auditing the sermon this morning, and that's how we're operating. But let me tell you, you're in error when you do that. I don't get to read this with a like or dislike. I don't put a thumbs up or a thumbs down by the things I like and dislike. That's not how this works. What you have to do, according to the Scripture, is I have to come with to the implanted Word of God with meekness and gentleness. What does that mean? Oh, God, I know that this is not something I agree with, so that means I need to repent of what I don't agree with about your word, because your word is true. It's not right or wrong. It's true. And since it's true, I need to come with a spirit and an attitude of, man, God, I'm sorry. This doesn't line up and agree with me in my spirit, and you know that. And so, man, I'm sorry, God. That's James 1:21. James 3:13 connects good conduct with the gentleness of wisdom. In the Old Testament, I don't think these will be on the screen, but you can write them down. In Numbers 12:3, it says, now the man Moses was very meek or gentle above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And then Psalms 18:35, it says, you have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand has supported me, and your gentleness made me great. Now, a few things I want to share just from the scripture that we read. First is this: the sovereign God of the universe is gentle and meek. It's not points in your sermon. You just have to write these in, right? That's why we have space in there. Fill it up. The sovereign God of the universe is meek and gentle. Almighty God loves you, right? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Psalm 147:3. Now, in my young parenting days, there are three cries that I kind of identify with your children. Y'all have them. The first one is they're fussing, crying, whatever it is, and it's the kids fighting and nobody's hurt, but they're just fussing and fighting, right? And if you are a parent of more than one, more than two in that sense, but more than two, you just let them fight it out. Because if I corrected every time they got in a fight, it's nonstop, right? So you have that one. And then you have the one where they're hurt, but they're not hurt, right? Like, they're crying, but they're not that hurt. Like, it's one of those, you can rub dirt on it kind of things, right? Or kiss it and make it better. You know, moms do that well. Then there's the one where they cry and, like, you know something's wrong. Like, you got to get up. Like, whatever it is you're doing, you're laying it down. Well, early in our parenting or early days of our children, Josiah was running around our house, and we had this glass end table with sharp edges. Now, I don't know why, as young parents, we had that, other than the fact we got it for free, and that was probably one of the only end tables we had. But we did a good parenting in that we hid it kind of over in the corner by a couch, thought, hey, that's a good place for it. Surely we'll be safe from anything that'll happen with that end table. Well, not true. Next thing we know, we hear the cry. You know the cry if you're a parent. You've heard the cry as a parent, and you run. And when we get in there, it's a bloody mess. Like, his nose is split open, blood's pouring everywhere, and we have options now, right, as parents. We can freak out, and if we do that, guess what happens? Whatever level they're at just magnified times 100. Right? They get super freaked out after that. Or we can try to have some control, right, in the moment, and we try to have this, you know, even though there's things we need to do in the moment, we got to stop the bleeding, we got to do all these things, but we're trying to show control because we're trying to calm them down enough so that we can actually handle the situation, stop the bleeding, all those different things. And there's more to that story, but you get the picture here of strength under control. Isaiah 40, verse 10 and 11 says this about God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might. His arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Beautiful picture of the tenderness of God, the gentleness of God, the meekness of God. God directs his strength and authority and sovereignty for the good of you and for me. Amen. Particular needs. We're lambs in need, and we see that here. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's got all strength, all power, a model for everything good. We see that in Matthew 11:29. He says, gentle and lowly in heart. He upholds the universe in Hebrews 1:3 and overturned tables out of righteousness in Matthew 21. He is gentle enough to let the bruised reed stand in Isaiah 42:3 and allow the smoldering wick to remain. What does that mean at the very end? Well, the Israelites in the Old Testament were over and over again disobedient, and yet in his gentleness and meekness, he helps just walk them through until. Well, man, I don't know about you and your walk and where you're from and your background, but God has walked me through to this moment. He's brought me to this place where I know I need him. So God, the sovereign God, is gentle. We see this in the person Paul, who was a murderer of Christians. He was a mean and angry man. People were scared of him. The disciples in the scriptures were afraid of him when they first heard that he was converted to Jesus Christ. And we see this great shift in personality. What happened? Well, he started being filled with the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit started being evident in his life. We see this in multiple different verses, but here's one. In 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25, he says this, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone." Anybody want to argue and be right? Let me ask it a different way. Any of you think you're right? Got a little more. Think you're right, don't you? You want to know why I know that? Because I think I'm right. In fact, I will say to you that I think I'm right all the time. I know I'm not, but I think I am. And oftentimes I can operate in that and from that framework that I'm right. You're all wrong. If we're all doing that at all times, can you imagine how easily things can get messed up? See how this works? And so he's saying, don't be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, correcting your opponents with gentleness, those who oppose you. So there's lots of different things. Let me give you a couple of things. So I've built another case for the idea of gentleness. Hopefully by now, at least you have an idea that is far deeper than just this soft or layover type person, but rather there's this strength under control that the scripture is showing to us. But let me give you a few ways to cultivate this. How do we cultivate this into our lives, the gentleness into our lives? 3 points. These are found all throughout the first 8 sermons, including this one, in different ways. It's said differently by different men in different moments in different sermons, but it's the same points in theory. So the first one is this: connect deeply with Christ. It's not revolutionary. In fact, you say, well, man, that's such an easy point. I know. But here's what I do know. Some people, many people, a lot of people in the church know about Jesus but don't know Jesus. And if that's true inside the church today, how much more true is it outside the church today? And I'm telling you that if you're lacking or you see a lacking of gentleness in your life in any capacity, it's probably because we're not diving deep enough in our connection with Jesus. Let me give you another thought here. Christianity is not something you have to do or we have to do. It's something we get to do. God's not making you do something this morning. You're choosing to be here. In fact, you don't have to choose. I mean, you don't have to do what's right or wrong. We have self-will, right? We have the ability to make decisions. We have that power to do so. Now, we can talk about the sovereignty of God, and if he wants to smite us in the moment, he can certainly smite us in the moment. And there will ultimately be a judge in eternity, and we got all that. That is true. But right now, you have a decision. You have a decision whether to listen to the rest of this or not. We get to do this. I don't have to. When we get to that place, this isn't something that we check off the list or something, a to-do list. This is life. So deep connection, and we want to dive deeper. How do we do that? Well, we want to commune in the Word of God. So these all build on top of each other. We commune. What does that mean? We want to spend time in fellowship in the Word of God. The Word says it's the living Word of God. Well, if it's the living Word of God, it means we need to spend time with it. We need to have a relationship with the Word of God. And the Word of God is living Word of God because it is Jesus, according to John 1:1. He is the living embodiment of the Word of God. And because of that, we need to spend time with it. So let me remind you of James 1:21. Receive with meekness means to let the Word of God be our control. You're trying to figure out what's right or wrong in a situation? Do what the Word says. Having trouble in your marriage, can't figure out what's going on? Do what the Word says. Love your wife as Christ loves the church, men. Wives, submit to your husbands. So also, like, do what the Word says. I'm not saying it'll immediately, magically all go away, but you'll get there. At least you're on the right path at that point. So we commune in the Word of God. And then a third thing is we commit to being filled with the Spirit of God. Let me just say it again in this way. Ask Him for it. Any of you all feeling a lack of peace in your life right now? For whatever the circumstances and details, ask for it. Need some goodness in your life? Ask for it. God, fill me with this. Put this, grow this fruit in my life. Need some self-control? You see the point. So ask for it. Remember, we don't produce the fruit. We bear it. So I can't make it, but I can bear it. The Spirit of God does that. Let me give you a couple of ways applicationally here. Found in Philippians 4:4, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. So how do we want our gentleness to be seen? Well, we want it to be seen in our teaching. We want to be teachers, the ones that we just had stand up, and those that have responsibility to lead others in discipleship in other ways. We want to teach in gentleness, right? We want to have a gentle spirit. We have no idea how our students are coming, where they're coming from, or what their background is. But we want to be gentle in that regard. We want to be gentle in our restoration, right? In the way that we restore people. A third way, another idea, is we want to be gentle in our marriage. Now, I'll stop here for a moment and give you a little bit of an illustration, because I asked my wife if I could. Our life is changing. With changes that happen around us, with our kids and everything else, there's also things that are changing in our marriage and physically. And I'm not going to get into the deep water because I'm going to make sure I don't say anything incorrectly in this. But my wife has got some physiological things happening she can't quite figure out, if y'all know what I mean. And for the rest of you, go ask an older woman, okay? Some things don't make sense, and if they don't make sense to her, guess who else they don't make sense to? This guy. Just this past week, she sent me a little text, and she's like, okay, this is really what I'm dealing with right now. And it's like, I don't know, I'm not going to say the name, but the word, but like, and she's like, I think you should go look it up, just so you understand a little better. I would actually say that was a gentle way for her to tell me I need to do better than what I was doing, right? And I did. I went and looked it up. I don't understand it all. I'm not going to understand it all. She's a woman. But I went and looked it up, and I understand a little bit more. And I'm trying to make it a little bit light, not because it's a light situation, but I want you to understand that in my marriage, I want there to be gentleness and meekness. I can just be frustrated over what is being done, not being done, or whatever the details of it may be, but what is that going to lead to? More frustration, more difficulty, more whatever, right? I don't want that to be the spirit of my house or my marriage. And so, all right, I'm going to move on from that so I don't say anything else and get in trouble. All right, gentle in authority. I want to be gentle in the authority. So what, I'm a baseball coach. I've got 47 or so guys coming. I want to be gentle in the way that I handle them, right? Now, there are going to be moments where there's not gentleness in the sense of what we think of as like soft and kind. Like, there's going to be some firm rod. We got to run this thing out or do something else. I see Trey back there, but good to have him back on campus. Like, you know, brother, there's going to be some times where guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do, and we got to handle business. But I want to be gentle in that regard, in the sense of what the Word of God describes. Gentle in the witnessing and the way that we receive. Man, we could, you know, we can go point fingers, but man, we're probably not going to get a good result. But if we come with some softness. When we were in New York, we had to come with a different approach by which to even get into conversations that might lead to Jesus. Well, if we had just come with a normal approach that we would have maybe here, where it's a little more firm and direct, we would have probably offended everybody we came in contact with. So you have to have this gentleness. Where does it come from? The Spirit of God built and cultivated in your life. And then we want to be gentle in life as well. Let me give you a couple of characteristics as well, and I'll finish my notes so that you can listen to the end of it here as we walk through. But gentleness in the characteristics of gentleness in the Christian. First of all, you're passionate about all things Jesus. I'll say this as bluntly as I can, I guess because I can, and if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. But if you get tired of anything that has to do with church and Jesus, there's probably something off in your spiritual walk. Like, if you get tired of coming here and being with each other, something's off. I love church. I love that I get to work at a Christian college. I love that I get to be around Christian people. I absolutely love it. But even if I had to work a secular job and grind it out with, you know, doing whatever, I still would love to come to church. I love church. I love you. I love the fact that every single time I see one of you, I'm going to hear something that is a testimony of some sort. I love that. I love Jesus. I am passionate about everything that has to do with Jesus. If it's music, there's some music I don't prefer, but if it's about Jesus, I'm in. I'll do it for the people that are beside me or that are on the bus or whatever the case may be, but we're passionate about all things Jesus, and so that's a characteristic. If that's not true of your life, let me ask you to humble yourself before God today, and let's make this right. A second thing is your purpose is always intentional. The purpose is always intentional. Somebody that is inclined or submissive or humble to the Spirit of God, you're going to have intentional purpose in what you do. So last year, I see Daniel Brown back there. He's a referee. Now, Daniel, I'm going to ask you a quick question. You don't ever get yelled at about anything when you're refereeing, right? Like nothing ever happens. Nobody's ever frustrated or mad. He's always, every call's perfect. And y'all know I'm being sarcastic in that regard. Last year, we were at Randall University. And I would say 99% of the time, I am a firm believer, and I maintain this, that the referees, umpires, whoever's officiating games and things, by the way, it's an extremely hard job to do. Nobody wants to do it in the sense of, like, the people that are fussing don't want to go do it. They just want to fuss about the people who are doing it. But 99% of the time, a referee or an umpire, they're doing the very best job they can do to be fair and just go according to the rules based on what they understand and know. I'd say that's their desire. But every once in a while, you get a guy, and you're like, this guy is not being fair. And at Randall last year, we had this experience. The umpire believed that our freshman catcher intentionally missed a ball so that it could bounce and hit him in the shoulder and hurt him. And he was convinced, and such to the point, like he's talking in not-so-godly ways to our freshman catcher for a good inning and a half. I mean, it was bad for an inning and a half. And so, like, there's this moment, and where coaches sometimes have to make decisions, right? I can go get thrown out, and there's consequences of that, and maybe that is what. And so I'm thinking through this moment as it's happening, and the Spirit of God was very clear. It was like, don't go get thrown out. I'm not that personality by nature anyway, so like, okay, but here's what happened. He literally, the Spirit of God was like, go have a conversation with him. So I did in the half inning in between. I just walked up, hey, brother, can I talk to you for a second? At first, he was real, you know, standoffish. I'm like, hey, man, we're not trying to do anything. That's not the character of our team. That's not the character of this kid. It's 110 degrees out here. It's the second game he's caught today. He is tired. It's hot. All these kind of different things. And he just missed the ball. Like, that's all that happened. And I know it hurt. I'm sorry that it hurt. Like, all those kind of things. And just that little conversation changed the countenance of the game. And just as a side note, we came back and won. So that was all good, right? So all that. But just a little example. Now, I wish I could tell you that every circumstance and all details and everything that I've done has been true in that regard. Like, oh, I was gentle and meek in the moment. That's not been true. But it is my desire. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, it should be a desire of your heart as well that this fruit would be evident in your life for everyone around you. Right? Everyone around you. And then so we see not only the passion about all things Jesus' purpose is always intentional, but they're practical and they're living. I say this, I can't get it out of my head, Pete. You said it last week when you were giving your testimony to the men. And you talked about how there's been a lot of hardships and difficulties and things of this nature. But he made this statement to us that were there, and he said, it's the best day ever in my life. Despite the things that were going on, it's the best day ever. And the reason it was the best day ever is because he was 24 hours closer to Jesus. I thought that was so good. It's just been with me all week long. Last 8 days, I've had that thought just running through my head. It is the best day ever. I don't care what you got going on. And I realize that some of you have some very difficult things going on. It's the best day ever. You're closer to Jesus in eternity than you've ever been. And if you desire, you can be close to Jesus right now in an intimate way, a fellowship way, a relational way than you've ever been if you'll choose to submit yourself in the way that he's asking. A couple of questions to consider if you bear fruit. The fruit of gentleness this morning. Perfect. We're on great time. Do I have a teachable spirit? Is your spirit teachable? No one's going to exhibit gentleness, this fruit, if you don't have a teachable spirit. Reminder that the Word of God is true. It's not right or wrong. It's true. And we need to know that. Do I repent when confronted by the Bible? As you read the Bible and you find something you don't agree with, do you repent of it? These are questions applicationally that I want you to consider this morning, even as we get ready for an invitation. Do you repent when confronted with the Bible? By the way, he tells us in 1 John 1:8, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins. Do I have a trusting faith? Do I really believe and trust in God, who he is, the perfection of who he is? Am I leaning on that? Am I trying to allow him to build that in me? Do I bear the fruit of gentleness toward one another? Am I kind to people? Am I firm, even in the authority that I have, positions that I have? Am I considerate and generous and fair in my dealings? Or am I rigid and difficult and demanding? Am I prepared to be sensitive to the pressure of insecurities that friends or colleagues or family may have? Do I show consideration to the people who serve me, the cashier that you're about to encounter, the customer service representative that you're on the phone with, or the waiter or waitress that's bringing you food? Do I tell myself I'm standing on principle when I'm merely insisting on my own opinion? See, often, if you allow the Spirit of God to check you, it's not principle, it's personal opinion that you're standing on. It's not the Word that we're standing on. Am I becoming increasingly compassionate and reasonable and kind or mean, unyielding, and inconsiderate? I want to do this. I want to show a video, just a couple-minute video, and I think this will be a great picture for all that we've talked about so far today. And then I'll say a few words, and we'll be closed while the video's going on. If the worship team will make their way to the platform, that'll be great. A few things I want to point out in the video. First of all, you see this Roman centurion who, quite honestly, in those days would have had all authority, could have come in and demanded things, actually. But that's not the posture you saw him come in with. And, this is the cry or the request I think God has had for you and I, is that we come humbly And we come humbly because he first showed us how to humble himself in coming to earth and to pay the price ultimately for our sins. You see Peter in that passage speak up, and Peter is speaking on behalf, saying that this man's worthy. And if you know anything about Peter, he had moments where he wasn't very gentle and meek. You see Jesus ultimately being the perfect picture of gentleness and meekness in a situation. And as a result of the faith of the individual, the child was healed. The slave was healed. I have no idea where you find yourself this morning. I have no idea what you're dealing with. I have no idea the circumstances that your life has in it. What I am confident in is this. Whether you have power or whether you feel powerless this morning, the call's the same to each of us. So whether you come with position and prestige or this and that, or whether you feel like you don't deserve anything at all and you're unworthy of it all, the call's the same. It's meekness. Come to Jesus in humility. How are we going to do that this morning? Well, the title of the sermon was The Lion and the Lamb, kind of a question mark. This idea of like, which one? Well, the reality is it's both and. Jesus is both the Lion of Judah and he's the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. The spotless Lamb. He is the one. I don't know if you believe that or not, or if you came here and you are unsure. What I am sure of this morning is that God desires for you to know him deeply this morning. And it starts by being humble before him. And in the humility, we cry out for this gentleness and meekness so that we can live life in a manner, in a way that models the life of Jesus for everyone that's around us. I'm going to end with just this thought. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek. It tells us in the last part of that, for they shall inherit the earth. The best of this life is found when we're living in complete submission and humility to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can't find this earth to be enjoyable unless you do that. You will find moments where you're happy, but you will not have the joy that surpasses all understanding, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the kindness, the goodness, the self-control, the gentleness, and the meekness. You will not have these things evident in your life. They won't be balanced, but you can have it this morning if you choose to have it. So how would you do this? Understand that there's an altar that we offer every single week. You can come and pray. You certainly can be where you are. There's people in the church, in the audience. There'll be a couple of us up front, but there's members who will come and pray over you. And you say, well, I don't want to come front. Well, I just can't guarantee somebody's going to pray over you then. Maybe the Spirit will move them in that way, but we'd love to pray over you. I'm saying this as someone who God has been preaching to for 2.5 weeks now since I knew. I need more gentleness and meekness in my life. I need it in lots of areas of my life. I need it this week. I need it today. And I know the way to do that is to humble myself before the Almighty God. Understand that it is of ourselves, I'm sorry, we are nothing. But in Christ, we are everything. Amen? So let me invite you to come. God, thank you for our time. Thank you for the privilege it is to bring your word. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. And God, I pray more than ever in my life that these would be filled in me, evident in me, and manifested in a way that others can see. That I would bear the fruit that you intend us to bear, intend me to bear. But I pray that for not just my life. I pray that for every single person here, even the one that says, you know what, I don't know this Jesus the way this man has been talking about it. I don't have these fruits evident in my life, but you do want it, you desire it. Just humble yourself. Come to the altar, come to me, come to Brother Doug, come to someone else, and just ask that they help you understand what it means to follow Jesus. For the follower in here this morning, let me just encourage you. I know we're not perfect, and we're not going to be, but I promise you, you won't be. You won't even come close to hitting the mark unless you surrender and humble yourself before God. Let the Spirit fill you. Pursue Jesus passionately, right? Get in the Word of God. Believe it. Let it read you and change you. Thank you in advance. We praise you in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. Church family, would you stand? And as God leads, would you come? And we'll have our song of invitation this morning.